Give today at donate.wikipedia.org.
Many medicines used to treat colds and flu contain acetaminophen, a pain reliever and fever reducer found in hundreds of over-the-counter and prescription medicines. But taking too much or more than one medication containing acetaminophen per day can damage your liver. So always read the label and don't take acetaminophen if you drink three or more alcoholic drinks every day. To learn more, visit fda.gov/OTCPainInfo. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Food and Drug Administration.
And you're listening to radio station WUSB. It's 6:01. Oh, I'm sorry, that wasn't legal. WUSB Stony Brook, where it's still 6:01. Time for Off the Wall. Very good evening to everybody at the program. is off the wall. Emmanuel here, joined tonight by Kyle.
Indeed, yes, Kyle is here.
And this is our last show.
Not ever.
If you let me finish the sentence, Kyle, you would have heard how I was going to conclude it.
Of July?
This is our... You know what, I'm going to start from the beginning. And a very good evening to everybody. The program is off the wall. Emmanuel here, joined tonight by Kyle.
Hi.
Tonight is our last show. I always breathe after the second sentence. Our last show until... Now I'm all flustered.
No one's saying you shouldn't breathe.
Because we're going to be on tape. Well, that's wrong, too. I'm still lying. We're going to be on some kind of digital device that acts like tape. But you don't know the difference. It could be a reel-to-reel tape recorder. We might still have some of those around. Actually, we do still have some of those around.
We could dub it to a reel-to-reel and actually take the digital transfer from a reel-to-reel copy and then play that on a cassette.
You want to do that?
Yeah, but then record that to a micro cassette.
Wait, look at the play Frank the micro took out cassette. No, Frank took out the
play
cassette
the
player.
Cassette.
Frank took out the cassette player. It's not there anymore.
Oh, you're right. We can't. No, so it has to be a CD.
Did you think we wouldn't find out about this? Wow, no cassette player.
So we're just erasing cassettes now. It doesn't exist.
Do you know you can play a 78 RPM record anywhere in this studio right now? I intend to change that, but I'm just saying at this moment, were you to come in with a whole bunch of Benny Goodman discs, you'd be SOL. You know?
Wow.
Yeah. Okay, all right, fine. Three CD players, though. Interesting. When's the last time someone played three CDs at the same time?
Who likes CDs anyway?
And what's that thing there, that SD device? What's that all about?
Oh, that's our digital player that uses all sorts of solid-state memory, like a USB, a flash, thumb.
I've never seen that turned on.
If you want to stick your thumb in there, if you have a flash on you...
Well, it's a thumb drive, right? I should be able to stick my thumb in it.
Maybe a compact flash if you want to go down a size. I don't know, but it's all kinds of solid state memory. So that's the new tape, apparently.
Well, in all the times I've been here, I've never seen that even turned on. Of course, the only times I'm here is when I'm on the air and I'm not using it, so I guess that makes sense.
Yeah, so the stuff that works from the past we throw out, and in embracing the future, no one uses it. Good job.
Well, don't look at me when you say that. It wasn't my idea. So, okay, so we won't be on cassette next week. We'll be on, we'll be recorded somehow. And we've already recorded the show. So these are our Iceland shows that we threatened you with back in January. Because the Hope Conference is coming up, and we're going to be all psychotic and no time for anything. So at least for 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks, we'll have Iceland material, which will be good in the middle of the summer.
I just had an idea of recording a show to, like, an old hard drive and then wheeling that in, you know, like the size of a washing machine.
Yeah, you know, we could get, like...
If we had a PDP-11 drive in here, first of all, you wouldn't be able to hear anything, right?
That's true.
And I don't know how much of the show or how clear the bitrate would be.
University used to have a UNIVAC. In fact, they might still have a UNIVAC. In fact, I think that's still how payroll works here, is through the UNIVAC.
Card
punch. I saw somebody walking around with a box of card punch, the little things punched in the cards.
They exported their program from Audacity to Punch Card?
Something like that, yeah. Mm. But, no, seriously, when I went to school here, it wasn't really that long ago, but it wasn't that far into that age, because there were years before I went here where people would just use that for computer programming. But I did see people, when I was here, walking around with boxes that were completely full of punch cards, and that was their computer program.
Well,
and to me, it just seemed like such a lame thing, you know, that this is what the computing age is all about. Even then, I knew it had to be more than that.
Yeah.
But that's what people were doing.
Yeah. You had to really have the vision, because at the time, the schools of the trade just didn't have that allure, I guess. Didn't have the infinite possibility that... all the tools we are blessed with these days provide.
Yes.
But, that was an incredible trip. We had our remote
What was?
Digital recording device.
Oh, yeah, Iceland. I totally, yeah, miles away. Okay, yeah.
I was bringing the wagon back around. And...
I fell off the wagon.
Nah, that's okay. Nobody wanted to be on the wagon anymore.
Well, okay, yeah. No, Iceland, that was a great trip. You know, we're putting together the shows now, actually, and we're kind of surprised by how much material there is. A lot of driving. So if you don't like the sound of driving on the air, you might not like this. But we drove around the whole damn country, literally, clockwise in a circle around Iceland in the winter. So you damn well better appreciate the sound of cars driving in the ice, because we risked our lives to bring this to you.
Yes, and that natural road noise in the background, we worked very hard with our sound engineers to come up with the best rumble and low noise in the background.
Yeah, enough, so, just to be annoying. Just yeah. be annoying enough so that, you know, you want to get up to turn the radio dial, but you just don't have the energy.
Yeah. And the moment you question whether we were on the road or not, it's there. Yeah. It's mm-hmm. us reminding you we're on the road and we brought you.
Yes.
So anyway, people love that. Please listen.
People are tuning away right now as we speak.
Well, we will be busy and having all kinds of new adventures. And
Hackers on Planet Earth conference.
It's coming up, yeah, and that's partly...
Ten days! It's coming up in 10 days, Kyle!
I know. That's why I'm a bit, like, in, I guess what you would say, rare form.
I'm not ready. Are you ready?
I'm...
Nobody's ready.
Panicking. Can we, at a low panic?
Move this back maybe a month or so, or two?
Yeah, we could use another month.
Yeah, all right, everybody, it's going to be in September.
Yeah.
This shouldn't be as big a deal as it might sound. Just, you know, cross out the 7 and write a 9. I'm sure we can get the same rooms.
Yeah.
It just gives us more time, more flexibility.
In fact, everybody out there, why don't you handle rescheduling it for us?
Yeah.
And
we're going to go back to Iceland.
We'll go back to Iceland, and, you know, everybody can work out the details for us, and we'll see you in September.
I think I might stay in Iceland, actually.
That'd be good.
Yeah, I think that'd probably be best for everybody. Actually, I couldn't stay in Iceland. I'd run out of money in 1 week. You know, it's so expensive there.
Yeah, because that's peak season, isn't it?
Oh, my God. Do you remember the prices? Because we commented on that a few times. That's the part we had to We had to bleep that part.
It was June, yeah.
But even in the winter, things are expensive.
Even in the winter, yeah, it is. It's true. But
a sandwich will cost you $25.
Yeah. But we found good, like, fast food, Turkish food, or Syrian fast food from a friend.
Our friend
in Iceland showed us one of the good late night spots, and there are deals, and obviously getting supplies at like a grocery store or something like that is a way to go and have little meals on the road. That's kind of a way to get around it.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of find the best kind of compromise, or maybe share some things. I don't know. It's a different experience. But.
You know, when we were in Iceland last, Iceland was still in the World Cup. They're no longer in the World Cup. Come on, did anybody really expect them to make it all the way to the final? I mean, it was amazing they made it to the World Cup. We didn't even do that.
Yeah, I was going to bring it up. I didn't want to. I knew it was going to be a sore spot because I wasn't sure, but they are out. I couldn't even remember. It was kind of a little while ago in World Cup years.
They made it to the knockout, didn't they? Did they?
Was it quarter or semi?
You know what? I forget where they got.
I think it was semi.
That's the thing. When you get knocked out, you forget where you got knocked out.
I think it was semi. They got.
No, they didn't make semis.
No. They make
quarterfinals? You're showing my ignorance. Quarterfinals come before the semifinals. That much I do know.
So they didn't make it even to the semi. They got knocked out before the semifinals.
Yes.
Okay.
Most teams did.
Yeah.
In fact, today another team got knocked out, but I'm not going to tell you which, because I know at this time, but I know there might be listeners that didn't hear the results, so I'm not going to ruin it for you.
But I hear Thailand's doing very well this time.
I think Thailand is the winner of the World Cup this year, because they have the best soccer team ever. They really do. I mean, those kids are just... last week... We reported on it. In fact, we even got some mail from Thailand, which is awesome.
Yeah, thank you.
We have listeners in Thailand, which I did not know.
It's really cool when people write us, and we'd love to hear it.
People who live near where the kids were trapped in the cave. But last week, they had just been discovered, the day before. And, you know, at the time, we just assumed that they would be rescued fairly quickly. Then they were talking about months. They'd have to stay in there for months because of the flooding. And then that changed. It seemed like they wouldn't be able to stay there for months. So... the decision was made to go in there and do what was being billed as a very, very dangerous operation involving scuba diving with kids who didn't even know how to swim. and you know, through miles of dark caves and narrow passageways underwater, it sounded like a nightmare, and you didn't know what condition these kids were in to start with. Imagine being trapped inside a cave, not knowing if anyone's even looking for you for over a week. That alone, but then the physical condition and how much experience they had swimming, or nobody had any experience scuba diving, they had to do all of that. So the first kids got released a few days ago. They got rescued, four of them, then another four, and then today the final four plus the coach. So they all got out.
Okay, I thought they were going to leave the coach as, like, punishment. But...
Well, the coach is the one who led them in there, but supposedly he also is the one who saved them for a couple of reasons. He gave them his supplies. I'm not sure why he had supplies. Didn't they have supplies, too? But apparently he gave them his, you know, it made him the weakest of them.
Oh, like he had a lunch with him or, you know, extra
I don't know.
Snacks?
He just packed something away, apparently, which was good. And also, it turned out he was I believe, a Buddhist monk, which allowed them to learn how to meditate, which if you're alone, well, not alone, but kind of isolated in a cave with a bunch of other people, and you don't know if you're going to ever be rescued, meditation is a good skill to have.
Yeah, I think what's hard for us as viewers and the world audience, so to speak, is the imagining how dark it was. Because you didn't have any sort of natural light sources and so on. So, yeah, you might be around other people, but being able to actually see them would be incredibly difficult and be very disorienting and distressing for hours, let alone days on end. So
over a week, and I can't even imagine, because you know, when you're outside and it's dark, there's always some source of light. Even well, there's the moon, but there's a star. Star light actually is a thing, reflective light of all sorts. But when you're in a cave, what's the source of light? There is none. There's no opening, so they couldn't see anything around them. And I just can't imagine what that was like.
Yeah, and so in that moment, I think when it's actually darkest, being able to center yourself and be mindful of your breathing and all of those sort of things that are part of meditation would be also sort of critical survival skills. And those two things would, I think, complement very well. And that was, as it turns out, something that he employed with all of those young guys in there, just to maintain health and waiting it out, essentially. And then, of course, once they're found, there's all sorts of other motivations and things that can get you motivated and give you hope.
Absolutely. It's really a shame that one of the divers lost his life in this whole operation. One of the Thai divers ran out of oxygen, which only underlined how dangerous this whole thing was and how important it was to plan it out. And boy, did they plan it out well. You know, in the end, they really had it set up so that there was always oxygen nearby. There was a diver in front and behind each kid as they were coming out. So I imagine they had every base covered, but unfortunately, you know, in setting that up, there was a big sacrifice in that person's life. Going to get a royal funeral from the Thai government or king or whatever, and that's certainly worthy. And you know, I think this, for the most part, is a real feel-good type of a story, except for the loss of life. Something that I think we were in dire need of, to hear something positive, to hear that, yeah, we can overcome what seem like insurmountable odds. And if we put our heads together, and what the people in Thailand, what the government of Thailand did, was accept help. They didn't act like, you know, remember how Malaysia acted after that plane disappeared?
Yes.
All defensive and not accepting outside government's help or outside agencies or experts or things like that. And just, you know... When people are defensive, you start to suspect, hey, maybe they're covering something up. And, of course, that was the result from that as well. Never a good move. Never a good move, even if, you know, you are completely innocent and know it. Accept help. Accept advice, you know. And that's what they did. And I think it really, really paid off in this case.
Yeah, it's very important to know what you don't know and where you're lacking skill. And by having that comprehensive sort of international thing coalesce and be communicating and coordinating all that stuff, yeah, it maybe took a little bit of pride, but the exigence of the situation and by coordinate or organizing that interest, that enthusiasm to help and actually making positive steps. But as you watched it, you didn't feel like the Thai government was relinquishing control. They very much orchestrated things, had things done their way, you know, on their terms, and galvanized, you know, that support into a really strong international effort that then came together. And as you said, it's really inspiring to see that collaboration come to fruition and have a positive result, in this case, saving some lives.
Yes. Yeah. Well, you know, we predicted when this first happened that the kids would get tickets to the World Cup final next Sunday, and that prediction turned out to be true. That's exactly what they got. Of course, they won't be able to travel there because they're still in the hospital, they're still being evaluated, and it really probably would be the worst thing for their families to have them suddenly get on a plane to Moscow. But they will get something in the future. I understand some of them want to see Premier League games, Manchester City or something like that. I know one kid wanted to see a Real Madrid game because he wanted to see Ronaldo, and they haven't yet broken the news to him that Ronaldo has just signed with Juventus. So, yeah, that's it. Oh, you didn't know it either. I'm sorry. Wow, the look
of
ashen horror on your face. Wow, that is... No, yeah, he's gone. He's gone. Yeah, just got that, you know, all the other superstars in that team now, like Luka, what's his name, from Croatia. He's on Real Madrid now. He'll have to carry the team, which I'm sure he can do. But no, Ronaldo's out, gone.
So many young soccer players with the Ronaldo hair are now shaving their heads in protest. It's like, forget it. Not cool.
I think they'll follow him over there. You know, it's just they don't care about the team. They care about the player. But, yeah, so... I don't know. It'll be an interesting period of getting back into society. And, boy, they have a unique story to tell. And I also think, in some ways, an experience like this, unfortunate as it is, there's so much we can learn in future space exploration about confined spaces, about rescue operations, about effects on human beings. So hopefully, you know, we take the situation, learn something from it, share it. Share that information, because it captivated the entire world. It really did. It's good to have something positive captivate the world. I mean, it wasn't positive when it was going on, obviously, but right now it feels positive.
Well, it's impressive in the moment, and it really does make you realize what is possible with a little human ingenuity and teamwork.
Definitely teamwork, just having people work together. And staying calm, being open, and just being determined. That is so important. Our phone lines are going to be open throughout the show. If anyone wants to call in and just add their opinion to what we're saying or change the direction we're going altogether, you can do that, because we won't be doing it next week or the week after, or maybe even the week after that. The number is 631-632-9872, 631-632-WUSB. So we'll hopefully get some phone calls. About this or other topics?
Nothing like a wintry trip through Iceland to stay cool in the summertime.
You know, I realized as we were walking over here how hot it was today. You know, we were basically inside dealing with all kinds of conference preparation. Oh, by the way, we should probably point out, because I'm guaranteed there's one person out there who's already changing their flight to September. We were kidding. We're not changing the conference 2 months to September. So don't do that. It's July 20th. We're sticking to that date.
Yeah, and lighten up a little.
Come on. For God's sake, don't be so literal.
It's levity. Yeah, you're a little too literal there.
Yeah. Well, now someone's going to get angry and email us and say, you know, that we were talking too nastily to them. Because,
yeah, why were you talking down to me?
Yeah. Well, we're not talking to you. We're talking to that other guy.
It was pejorative.
Yeah.
It wasn't you. Because you're the complainer, and we know you're the complainer.
Okay, I think we've offended just about everybody at this point. Yeah, so other things are going on in the world. Most of them are depressing. In fact, I've been feeling very negative lately, and I don't usually feel negative. Just kind of like, we're never going to get past this. We're never going to win. And I know that's wrong. I know that's wrong. But I guess when you're bombarded with all the stories about how you know, we're moving so much further to the right and how the Republicans have it all figured out and it's generations and generations, Roe versus Wade going away and, you know, we're going to have segregated drinking fountains again, all kinds of horrible things on our future because of this, you know, Supreme Court nominee and all kinds of other things. It's, you know, it's easy to fall into that. And sometimes you have to step back. Sometimes you have to step away from it. And that's kind of what I've been doing, is just rolling my eyes and just trying to pay attention to something else, like, you know, organizing a conference and following the World Cup. Those are good distractions.
Yeah, as stressful as we might have made it out to be, it's a lot more calming, and we have a lot more control and understanding of it than a lot of the, like, geopolitical stuff. And I think what bothers me about the current topics and the Supreme Court pick is the moralization that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that it's a bad position for us to be moralizing political positions and parties, and I just think there's so much hypocrisy and stuff like that that it's hard to take seriously, and I just don't think there's enough listening either, you know, in the discussion, and there's, I think, acquiescence or reticence to just sort of let what may occur, except if you're a woman. I think there's a lot of women right now that are not so happy to just allow this to occur, and I want to support them absolutely. But it's a moment where you feel this creeping sense of moralization, and this is just one of the first issues in this. And I think if there's a social shift and so on, along with this sort of political wave towards the right, you're going to have a huge fight for me. You're going to have a huge fight from a lot of people.
Well, that's the thing. I think that's probably what depresses me the most, is the second guessing, the lack of any really, and I don't want to minimize or speak down or not see what's going on, but it doesn't seem like there's enough of a reaction to these things. And by that I mean, We think too much about the what ifs, you know. We have to be civil. We have to, you know, not offend. We have to treat everybody, you know, fairly and equally, which all sounds good, but it's not the way things are working in reverse. And at some point, you have to push back. You know, in Haiti, for instance, they tried to raise gas prices, and crowds would not have it. They were rioting for 2 days, and guess what? They got rid of the price increases. I'm not saying that's the answer.
Yeah.
I'm saying that when you react, there is a response to that reaction. Sometimes it's a very nasty response, but there is, you know, if you're just quiet, then you just accept it all, and you start to get used to it.
Yeah.
And I just feel like that's what we're going through right now, is we, you know, just one more thing piled on top of something else, and it just never seems to end. And I'm starting to feel like, you know, they're just going to take away everything that people have fought for over the generations, and we're just going to have to take it because, well, we're not going to go outside and demonstrate or anything like that. Who has the time for that? And it just seems like, you know, we're too busy. You know, it's going to sound like I'm a big hypocrite here, because I'm going to say we're too busy criticizing ourselves, and that's exactly what I'm doing. But I'm criticizing the fact that we seem, and I mean people on the left, seem to be focusing more on people on the left instead of the people who are truly trying to push back and destroy whatever progress has been made over the past few decades. You know, I see this all the time, where you see what liberals and leftists, supposed liberals and leftists, are saying, and none of it is about Trump. It's all about some other person on, supposedly on the left, a Democrat perhaps, or a liberal, or somebody, and how they're a hypocrite. And how, you know, the latest, okay, this is what really got me. Both people on the right and people on the left blamed Obama for the Supreme Court vacancy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Obama could have had a recess appointment.
That's what it was,
yeah. Could have had a recess appointment.
I heard that.
I don't know. I haven't researched this. Someone else told me that Republicans prevented the recess from actually taking place. There was some kind of a technicality where that wouldn't have worked. But, you know, even if he did have that opportunity, do you think the reason he didn't do it was so that he could get somebody conservative elected instead? No, he's probably just trying to be fair, probably trying not to act like this, not realizing that it was going to degrade into this kind of an atmosphere. But there are people who just want to criticize Obama no matter what, say there's no difference. And I'm sorry, anyone who says there's no difference between Obama and the kind of people running things now is an idiot. I can prove it, too, with math. You know, that is the stupidest statement I can imagine. Of course there's a difference. Look at all the things that are falling apart now. You know, all the things, yeah, Obamacare wasn't the greatest, but it was something. And you know what? It would have been even greater if people had supported it when it was coming out. I was annoyed about this years ago when Obamacare was being introduced, when it wasn't even called Obamacare, that people on the left just were criticizing, saying it's not enough, it's not single payer. Yeah, we know that. But obviously it was something, or they wouldn't be trying to destroy it so much and succeeding, because you guys didn't step up and say, we want more, and we're going to support this, but we want to keep going. Instead, condemn it all and say that's all the same, all part of the same machine. And, you know, you're probably right, because the system is the system. Politicians look out for each other. But there is still a difference between the left and the right in this country. And if you want to take a step to the left, you get there by moving to the left, not by going backwards and then trying to make one giant leap. It doesn't work that way. You have to be moving in a particular direction to make that progress. It might not be as much progress as you want, but, you know, it's something. And I just think people have trouble realizing that if they don't get everything they want right away, they still could be making progress towards that eventual goal. You know, it seems to be all or nothing. And that's what depresses me, because we don't seem to be learning. And when I hear people on the left saying the same things as people on the right for different reasons, it just strengthens that move to the right.
Yeah. Well, look, this is religious freedom being used to impact a constitutional right of a woman to choose whether she carries a child to term or not. So this is their religiosity being imposed upon other people. If I don't give a damn about your religion, I am still dealing with the consequences. Okay? And that is what's happening. That is now becoming political. And all the moralizing in the world is not going to make me care anymore about your religion. And I'm not the only one in this country that feels that way.
Mm-hmm. No, I don't think you are. And I can't believe we're still talking about this.
We are.
This was settled in the 1970s.
We're reliving 72, 73. Absolutely. You know, and it's really disturbing the direction. And as you said, yeah, I mean, tearing, you know, our leadership and trying to do a postmortem on this party or the opposition to the current administration. It's either too late or way too early. We are still in these fights, and it is the slow creep toward a far-right social attitude in this country. Watch it. See what happens, you know? But if you want to hang on to the rights and things that have been established that are not a part of someone else's religion being imposed upon you, or their moralization and judgment, you know, in some retroactive way, you need to stand up. You need to support the people that will represent you, because this is hardball. The stakes could not be higher, and it is the antithesis of values that have gotten us to this point. Yet we're rehashing these very issues in the context of populism and the current divided state of our country. So is this the new social moray? Is this what we're doing now?
Are you asking me?
Every pregnancy is to come to term?
Well,
no matter what the scenario?
It's just crazy that, you know, there are these people, mostly white men, that this is the issue that they're latched onto, something that has already been settled many, many times over. We're going to go back. decades and you know, debate this, despite the fact that it is against the vast majority of what people want. And yet somehow they keep getting what they want, even though they're the minority. Think about
every
this.
Every day.
The Supreme Court justice being nominated right now is Kavanaugh guy.
Oh, yeah, Brett.
Yeah, he's what is it with people of Brett? How that Brett.
Brett
Hume, he's conservative.
Brett.
All these. All right, let's stop making fun of his name. So basically, you have this guy that basically he represents one aspect of politics, not neutrality, but basically a particular ideology, and that really has not been the case with the Supreme Court in the past. The Supreme Court justices are known for being neutral and fair, open-minded, and now you have political appointees in the Supreme Court, and you know it's you could expect Nixon to appoint somebody who was liberal when he was conservative, because that's how things used to work. You could expect someone like Jimmy Carter to appoint a fairly conservative Supreme Court justice, but now because it's Trump, he's going to appoint people who are ultra right wing every single time. Now, you know, you could say blame Obama for not appointing someone who's far to the left, but he was still playing by the rules. At least as far as I can see, he was still playing or trying to play by the rules. And yeah, you know, because he was playing by the rules, there's a decided disadvantage now. But I would blame the people in power now. And I'm not seeing enough of that. I'm not seeing enough focusing on where the problem actually is. A minority of people are being represented, and they've used every trick in the book to ensure that that continues.
And will not let go. They will not walk away. They will not step down. They will not rest until every last one of them is scared away and their dominance is maintained.
Yeah, gerrymandering, that's how they stay in power, even though they have a minority of support in states. Changing the vote in the Senate, so it just has to be a simple majority instead of two-thirds. It used to be two-thirds to appoint a Supreme Court justice. Imagine that. They would never have anybody appointed with that regulation now. It wouldn't be possible. But because the rules have been changed, they can get whatever they want. Now, there are things that we have to be careful about, though. I want to be accurate. I've heard so many people saying that what Mitch McConnell is doing is hypocrisy because he said that they could not appoint a Supreme Court justice in an election year, and that resulted in the stolen Supreme Court seat, which I agree with. I think it was stolen, and that should have been the Barack Obama appointee back in 2016. But to compare that to what's happening now, it's not really the same thing because, yeah, it's an election year, but it's not a presidential election year. So it's not – you can say he's a hypocrite for many reasons. But I don't think that's something you can point to and say it's exactly the same. There is no presidential election this year. There's all kinds of other elections, but there is no presidential election. So you can't say it's you know, he's doing one thing in 2016 and another thing in 2018. No, he said presidential election, you can't appoint a Supreme Court justice during that year. Now, if 2020 comes and somehow Trump is still in power and the same situation comes about and Mitch McConnell is still alive and he says this then he's a hypocrite for that. And also he's a hypocrite for so many other reasons, but let's just be accurate.
Yeah, I don't know. I think we're still playing way too closely to the rules, you know, playing by the rules. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is exactly the sort of courtesy and politeness that got us into this situation with Merrick Garland.
Well, I don't want to be polite. I just want to be accurate. You know, I am not for being polite. The polite boat has left.
Okay? Yeah.
And it's time for us to get down and dirty and really start confronting these people. Steve Bannon, our good old friend Steve Bannon, was confronted the other day. Black Swan Books in Richmond bills itself as a quaint, welcoming place where old books meet new friends. The type of local establishment where the most exciting thing to happen on any given day might be the acquisition of a rare hardcover. But on Saturday afternoon, the independent bookstore in Virginia's capital became the next stop in the roving battle over civility and politics after a customer spotted former White House chief strategist Stephen Bannon inside and confronted him. Now, Nick Cook, the owner of Black Swan Books, told the Richmond Times-Dispatch that a woman in his store began verbally accosting Bannon when she saw him, including calling the former Trump advisor a piece of trash. Shortly afterward, Cook said he decided to call the police. Steve Bannon was simply standing, looking at books, minding his own business, Cook said. I asked the woman confronting Bannon to leave, and she wouldn't, and I said, I'm going to call the police if you don't, and I went to call the police, and she left, and that's the end of the story. And since then, all kinds of people have been getting death threats and threatening phone calls, including the owner of the bookstore. Honestly, I don't think he did anything wrong. I really don't. He told the woman, okay, that's enough. I'm going to call the police now. If you don't leave, she didn't leave. He called the police. She left before they came. You know, I think she did the right thing in accosting him. I think anytime you see one of these scumbags anywhere, you need to do that. And I'm glad she did. But it is a bookstore. It is, you know, a place where other people are. And if the owner says, okay, that's enough, please leave now because you made your point and you're causing a disturbance now, and if you don't do that, yeah, you kind of have to do something else. So I don't think he did anything wrong. I really don't. And I'm glad that happened, and I hope it happens every single time he steps outside the door, as well as everybody else in that administration or who was in that administration. They need to be called upon for the things they have done and for the things they continue to do and for the things they want to do.
Yeah,
I have no problem with that. It's what happens in other countries. It's what happens throughout history. It's the way you make change. The way you become a victim is to just sit back and take it.
I'm not really getting the message in the other channels, I think. I think some conversations in public are apt. And of course, in a bookstore, the owner has every right to refuse service and that sort of thing. But it's semi-public in that you're out amongst the community. And if someone feels a certain way and wants to let another person know, someone who may have been in public service, it's certainly within their right to speak on it.
I still can't believe that nobody's hit these guys with pies yet. You know, whatever happened, whatever happened to those good old days where people got pied constantly, you know, who deserved it. And you think pie makers would be all over this, but they could do so much business.
They don't want to waste pie on these people.
Oh, come on. I'll pay for it. I will. Well, you know, in other news, you know, apparently it's okay to take over a federal building with an armed group of people now. Because remember the that place in Oregon where these ranchers took over federal property, armed ranchers, and they refused to leave?
Yeah, Bundy or whatever.
Yeah, not Al Bundy. That's the guy from Married with Children. Yeah, I don't think it's the same guy. But basically, during the Obama administration, they took over this federal property.
Yes.
I didn't even remember what the case was about.
Clive-in.
Something to do with taxes or land or God knows what.
It's grazing rights, okay? This is DNR stuff, Department of Natural Resources, and basically the Department of Interior manages federal lands, and these guys were grazing cattle on what was otherwise federal lands or vice versa. They were refusing to remove cattle or allow cattle to graze on their land that were on federal land. One way or another, it was about land rights and cattle grazing. And these guys were breaching whatever the government had decided, so they then, you know, brought their cattle in or staked, I don't even know the word for that.
Wow.
They made claims with their horsemen and all that and, you know, made a big stand there. And one guy got shot.
By the cops, yes.
Yeah.
Well, I think, yeah, I don't know what the exact circumstance was, if there was a sudden move or something. I'm not going to take a side on that at all, but it was a situation where you had an armed group of people taking over a federal building. That is literally what happened, and Trump today pardoned them. So what I'm wondering is, does that mean that if a bunch of armed people took over another federal building, that eventually they would be pardoned? Somehow I've been led to believe that that's considered an act of terrorism, but apparently if you're from a certain political bent or represent certain people or are doing it during a different administration, then it doesn't count. It's not the same thing. And I just wonder, you know, if these had been, say, Puerto Rican nationalists, you know, or environmentalists, or even that woman on the Statue of Liberty last Wednesday, anybody, would they be treated this fairly? And I'm putting that in double quotes and italics. You know, I just don't think so. I think the hypocrisy is screaming at us.
Even if they wore the boots and the hats and had the horses, I think it's more about complexion and political bent. You know, if you're you know, white Western, you know.
Wait, these guys were white?
Oh, yeah, they were fully white.
I just assumed they were black.
No, they were crazy white.
Really?
Yeah.
White people taking over a federal building.
Yep. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I think that was like a visitor center on the property that they took over, and then people started mailing them all sorts of like sex toys and stuff. That was a
I didn't know about that.
That was a hilarious story. Yeah, they were getting all kinds of like, let's just say phallic gifts.
Okay, well that's wow. Okay, so yeah, that happened, it just goes to show you how divided we are, how crazy things have gotten, where that is the thing that is a priority in the Trump administration. Meanwhile, all these kids are separated from their parents, and we're treating people seeking refugee status as criminals, and all kinds of horrible things are happening, you know, in our name. And that is something that we, you know, people are out in the street, people are protesting about this, but it needs to be massive. It needs to be constant. If the Senate cannot do its job, in other words, if they are physically prevented from doing their jobs, then something will change. If you sit back and just watch C-SPAN 2 and you know, complain every time something happens but not do anything about it, then we can watch as we keep spiraling downwards. But if you actually make yourself heard and be disruptive and get in the way a little bit, then they have to react. They have to do something, whether it's a pleasant thing or an unpleasant thing. And that's what democracy calls for. That's what it's always called for. That's how this country got started in the first place. So people need to get off their asses and do more. And I know, you know, speaking for myself, I want to as well. You know, I just don't want to be that only person standing in front of something with a picket sign. I want to be part of a group of hundreds of thousands of people. And I just wonder when that day will come.
Yeah, and I think the thing to keep in mind is that the individuals in that case, Cliven and his family, they weren't going into that knowing that they were going to be pardoned. And when people protest, when people take a stand, whatever the disagreement is and whether you support or not or, you know, whatever the issue, you know, they have a point, and they're taking a stand for something that they believe in. And I think that this administration is going to be having a bit of a rude awakening, especially if those people like that, those individuals, people that are advocates for states' rights, find another issue where maybe they won't be pardoned, or, you know, going into it, who cares if they're pardoned? You know, it doesn't have to be that issue today. It could easily be something else tomorrow. And, people will take a stand and not expect to be treated, in such a way as they so fortunately were by the president. And there's more and more evidence that his interests are not necessarily aligned with those people who may or may not have supported him. I mean, they are becoming the administration of waste, fraud, and abuse, not against it. You know, Scott Pruitt, his whole ousting this week, or resignation, I'm sorry. And, you know, these small incremental things, they're going to start becoming unbearable and glaring. And, you know, so the next horseman, you know, they won't expect Trump to be a big fan. And, you know, what this administration is so excited about, presidential powers and all of this sort of federal and national executive and sort of supercharging that, putting that on steroids, it doesn't really jive with states. It's not really our thing. You know, there are maybe issues you can get certain states on, like abortion or other things, and that are religious motivations, or, you know, my favorite, oil and gas, whatever, you know, all of those sorts of things. Yeah, issue by issue may have a coalition of states, but as a nation, it's not really going to play that well, not in the end.
No. And, you know, everything that has been happening over the past couple of years, they're not isolated instances. They have an effect. You know, they basically they leave a lasting impact. For instance, talking about Scott Pruitt, his moves in the EPA are going to have effects on the planet, on our country, that will last for a long, long time. Undoing regulations, giving money to millionaires, dismantling Obamacare, all these things have an effect on all of us. That's not just going to be wiped away when Trump is gone. These are things that are going to last a long time. And it's as if somebody came and robbed you and defecated on your front lawn. It's basically all sorts of horrible things have happened as a result of this that cannot simply be wiped away with an election. This is lasting damage. You know, it's as if you just put a bunch of vandals in charge of something, let them run crazy for a couple of years, and then moved in and wondering why everything is a mess. Everything needs to be rebuilt and repaired. That is what we're going to have to deal with. You know, the deficit is out of control. Notice how Republicans don't care about the deficit anymore. We've seen lie after lie after lie where, you know, people are told they're being represented, finally the little guy, and now you have a president that openly mocks them, calling himself elite to their face, and for some reason they cheer that. You know, and there are just so many examples of how we have turned into a country that works against what we supposedly stand for. And it's just this whole immigration thing alone is something that makes me ashamed, makes so many Americans ashamed. And what do we do? How do we fix this? It's not like we can just, help people and bring them into the country ourselves. I would love to do that, you know, because they add so much to our country that these people are taking away from. And it's just really sad to see these good people denigrated like this, turned away, having their lives destroyed, really. I mean, you separate families, which is what this administration is so proud of doing, you are destroying lives. And the fact that people can accept this, people on their political side are able to accept this, tells me how sick we have gotten that this sort of thing is even in consideration on any level.
Yeah, so I guess what I was saying in kind of a roundabout way is that we would just as easily be aligned with the people that we're pitted against or divided against right now, because the indignity of the policies as it's executed right now, I think, will ultimately outweigh the pride of those supporters of this administration. And they'll come to their senses and realize their citizenry, their community, their neighbors are really where their interests lie, and that something is amiss and has to be done, because the pervasiveness of these policies, as you said, the elite and super elite, his leadership style of being in on a joke or pitting himself as the solution to everything, that may play well with crowds, but in practice and stuff, when people see what is being done or not done at all, again, I think, you know, we would end up standing with individuals that on maybe a certain issue or another we would disagree with, but we're all kind of facing the consequences of this leadership, and it's going to affect everyone, even, as I said, people that we completely disagree with.
Well, it already has. But the thing to remember, and Suffolk County, where we are, is far to the right. Unfortunately, that is the case. And a lot of people here believe the crap that Trump shovels.
They lap it up.
And the thing is, they don't question. At least, you know, people on the left tend to question, and to the point where it's a fault, where they question themselves and never actually get into a fight with the people on the other side of the spectrum. Fine, there are pros and cons to that. But in this particular case, you need to question everything you're told, no matter where it's coming from. And if you question what Trump is telling you, you'll see how many lies you're being fed. For instance, the whole myth about immigrants and immigration, or illegal immigrants, if you want to call them that, and welfare. People are given false statistics. And I read something the other day where basically if every single illegal immigrant used welfare, which is almost impossible for them to do if they're illegal immigrants, but if somehow they figured out a way around the system and everybody was able to take full advantage of this, it would not equal anywhere near what they are claiming it already is, because there aren't enough of them to make that number happen. So something like that, something that's easily provable, that's something you should be looking at and asking, why are we being told this? Maybe you do have facts to support your case, but that's not one of them, because it's easily provable to be completely false. Now, you might see it on Facebook. You might hear it from your uncle or something like that. Doesn't make it true. And unfortunately, we live in a world now where you just have to see it online to believe it. And that is where we are. That is what is going on every single day. Now, also, the thing to consider with what we're talking about here, we're talking about Trump. We're talking about Supreme Court justices and the Senate and all that. It's not isolated to that. It trickles down. It basically affects politics and people locally. And here's an example of this. In New Jersey, Atlantic County Republican Chairman Keith Davis said today he will not withdraw his support for congressional candidate Seth Grossman, despite Grossman's sharing of a racist article from a white nationalist website on social media. Now, here's the excuse. You can say many things about Seth Grossman, Davis said, but the man doesn't have a racist bone in his body. Okay, first of all, we all have racist bones in our bodies, but let's not even get into that now. He made a serious error by linking to this horrendous webpage that he has now disavowed. I take him at his word. Okay, that's great, Seth. I mean, that's great, Keith. Keith, you're talking about Seth. Great, you know, but here's the thing. He shared an article from the white nationalist website American Renaissance, claimed blacks are a threat to all who cross their paths, and then he went and praised the article. These are his words, saying, "What so many people, black, white, and Hispanic, whisper to me privately but never dare say out loud publicly." So that's one hell of a mistake, where you actually add your comment to that and say this. But basically, that was not the only thing. Okay, he was caught on video calling diversity crap and un-American. He basically, in social media and blog posts by him, not links, things he said, he called Islam a cancer, complained Black History Month was too long, called Kwanzaa a phony holiday invented by black racists to weaken and divide Americans, et cetera, et cetera. And yet you still believe this guy doesn't have a racist bone in his body. You're going to stand by him. That is the Republican Party of today. That's the local Republican Party of today. And you see this all over the country. So it's not isolated. It's not just something that's happening right now because of Trump and the people that he surrounds himself with. It's happening all over the place. You talk about a cancer. This is a cancer that is spreading. And you need some chemo for this, or you're going to really find yourself in a bad situation in a couple of years.
Well, when were we in Dresden? Because I remember when we went to the hackerspace there, someone said fascism is on the rise. That was our warning. I think that was about 4 years ago now.
That was our warning? Okay. Well, thank you, anonymous person who told
fascism
us that.
Fascism is on the rise. I yeah, because Pegida rallies and stuff was going on and all of that in Europe and still is, actually.
Yeah,
since
when we were there, we didn't have a dream that Trump was going to be in power, did
at
we?
At all. It was the furthest. It was a joke. It wasn't even at all a discussion. And now we can't get rid of it.
Well, that's going to have to be the final word, because we are out of time. But we'll be back again next week on tape, as we mentioned. You can write to us, otw@2600.com. Tell us if we're right. Tell us if we're wrong. Tell us things that are going on in your world. And when we come back in a few weeks, we'll maybe read what you say on the air, and we can talk about it. Maybe we can get some phone calls sometime. Maybe people will dare to call in and voice their opinions as well. Hey, I want to go out with the voice of the Thai people. This was recorded on shortwave back in 1975. I think it's a fitting tribute just to, I don't know much about the history back in 1975, but I do know right now they have a lot to be proud about, and this might bring back some memories for some people. Again, write to us, otw@2600.com. We'll see you next time. Good night.
ได้พัฒนาไปอย่างไม่หยุดยั้งตอนที่หนึ่ง